All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And we have in studio with us now Brendan Devaney. Hi, Brendan.
Yes, G-Man, what is it, Craig?
What's up, B-Meister?
All good, all good. Well, I'm coming on G-Man here, and I'm supposed to be the GA pundit, but you're trying to outsmart me now.
Well, listen, come here.
Predictions.
It's not a sporting prediction. I just, sometimes you feel something's written in the stars. And I just thought, with everything that went on, that there was an opportunity in one game for Derry to do it.
Yes.
But what a weekend of football. I know the Donegal women didn't fare too well, and I presume you're going to reference that. But in terms of the football championship, whether it's by accident or design, another weekend of great matches, I thought.
Great
matches that mean something.
Low,
you know,
attendances, maybe, Greg, which is a wee bit of a worry. And you just wonder about the season and people maybe thinking, will I go to this game or not? Maybe picking games because there's so many. You know, we obviously know the cost, and you know, even Mayo of all people, like 13,000 yesterday, like they could get that at league games.
Also, like, too, you know, like I don't know, like Croke Park could have. I don't know. I'm skipping from different tournaments here, but you know, what was it, 11,000 for a doubleheader in Croke Park? Mm. You know, put the tickets are fiver or tenner. Fill the place.
Yeah, fill it. Yeah. Listen, there's ways of looking at that. There still is that thing of, particularly the teams, and people do love going to Croke Park regardless, but it does make it weird. I mean, if you look at, say, from the week before, the Dublin game at the Hyde with Mayo, there was, what, 11,000 or something there, but it was a brilliant atmosphere. Like, you put that into Croke Park, if that had been a Dublin, the home team, and it just changes everything. You know, no matter what, people are saying that so much about, you know, you look at even the Euros going on there now and impact the fans and supporters, you know, you can't beat that side of it. That's why I was a bit disappointed. And if you look at, say, that Mayo Derry game we started with there, you know, going down to penals, why wasn't the Mayo crowd let in behind the goals?
I mean, they had to break in.
Hey, it's your home advantage. Yeah, yeah. Go and make it awkward for the opposition. People might say it's not, maybe not that sporting, but I was thinking, if you're at home and it goes a penalty shootout, surely then, you know, you've got that thing. And listen, if you're stepping up to hit a penalty, listen, you do not want people behind shouting and waving and doing all sorts, but it may all crash out. And
there could have been potentially three upsets, I think, there could have been four upsets. I think there were three upsets. Would you suggest that? I mean, I think Galway were expected to beat Monaghan, but Monaghan, heading towards the end of that game, had a bit of an advantage, had the wind. You know, a lot of people might have thought they could have closed that out. That would have been something of an upset, would it?
It would have definitely. Like, I mean, Monaghan, I mean, what, they beat Dublin opening day of the league, and then they lost every game then up into the draw with Louth in the previous week. Now, it was interesting coming out, you know, Killian Lavelle last week, who's a cousin of mine, was saying, you know, we're just forgetting about that, we're concentrating where we're at now, which was, I think, smart enough play of Monaghan, you know, all out in semi last year. But they definitely weren't the same team as they were last year. You know, they've had players away and players coming to the end of their career. It felt like this was going to be a tough season for Monaghan, and just that wee bit of craft or guile. And Galway probably have that wee edge, and they were at home as well. That went normal the first game, right? And after that, as you said, the other games went with underdog. Mm.
Yeah, Roscommon beating Tyrone. Tyrone, you know, seemed to get caught out early on, clawed their way back into it. But would be kicking themselves that they allowed Roscommon to close it out, would you think?
Yeah, 100%, Greg. I mean, you look at Roscommon's season, very, I suppose, like, you know, Monaghan's in terms of the relegation and, you know, going out of Connacht, and then even in the group, they beat Cavan to qualify in a bit of a shootout. So you're thinking, if they do that same tactic with Tyrone, Tyrone are going to sit, like we've seen them play against Donegal, they'll have good defensive shapes, we thought. They'll nullify the Roscommon threats and then hit them on the break. But Roscommon didn't play like that. You know, it was a real masterclass of tactics and get up and at you. And 3 points in the first half. I mean, Greg, if I'm a Tyrone supporter, I'm like, what is going on in the world? You know, it was absolutely shocking first half. Now, they clawed their way back second half, in fairness. But you're at home. It's knockout championship. And again, going back to poor crowds. Shocking crowd at that game. Game, Greg, you know.
Is there, like, as I say, I'm sitting at home watching these games, right? So I'm entertained because the games mean something, and I want something to mean something, right? But if you have Derry that sort of, you know, beat one Division 3 team and get through, and then you look at Tyrone's season and they had a bad result against Roscommon, is that fair? Are we getting the fairest, best last eight?
Yeah, well, if you are...
Just
are,
using those two as an example.
Yeah, well, if you hear Jarlis Burns' rhetoric, it was to be in for 3 years, right? So next year should have been the last year before it was reviewed. But Jarlis Burns, the new GA president, he's made a few sound bites that he's not happy about the way it is. So I think it probably needs a tweak and a change. Maybe, I think possibly, if you had a system where you had maybe an open draw and you had a second chance, and then maybe you had a bit of time between games, I think that would be better. These games, constant games, or everybody gets the games and gets an opportunity, another opportunity, I don't think it's maybe igniting the love of the game. You know, yesterday or Saturday, Sunday, there was some definitely interesting games, and now the quarterfinals, a lot of people say it's the real All-Ireland now, so there's a lot of football being played.
But the problem with the quarterfinals as well is, though, they are manufactured. So you had a three-stage draw this morning, right? So to some extent, the quarterfinals were predetermined nothing on the pitch.
Yeah, certain teams.
Now, I can understand why, but when you sort of have three pots, it just, there's something wrong with it. And the semi-finals could be the same as well, so that it is a manufactured draw. Now, if this was happening behind closed doors, you'd go, oh, the fix is in. But it's actually happening in broad daylight, and this is seen as the system. There just seems something a bit strange about designing a quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think the issue is championship, right? If you've got a league format, that's what the league is for. If you have championship, it's supposed to be like cut and thrust. It's supposed to level up. Now, what we've got now, we've got a mixture because of the group games of leagues versus championship, and then it gets down to knockout. That's why I was so shocked by the likes of Tyrone in terms of performance. If there's any game you were going to really go at it, was that one.
Yeah.
But are they caught in that loop of, you know, the league's pretty important, and then you go into the championship, Ulster, and they had that bad defeat to us, and then they go through this group, good performance against Cork. I just can't figure out what's happening there. But our players now struggling to go, right, boom, this is knockout championship now.
Because you'd say the same with Cork, couldn't you?
Yeah, you would think that they would be hopping, yet they played probably their worst half of the season in the first half. So I think everybody's getting a bit affected by that. The crowds are getting affected. The players are getting affected. We need to get back to a stage where we create championships.
It's like almost as if it's designed for telly.
Yeah, that's the thing as well.
It feels like it's a little bit designed for telly.
The junior, listen, obviously the senior championship, the All-Ireland, is the main product. So how are they getting the max out of that? And then obviously the club got pushed back. Now they've tried to help the club and split season. But now I think the way this season has gone, you can tell that nobody's happy with it, nobody at all. For a variety of reasons, and even the pressures putting on players and people in their pocket and that. So I think it needs to go back to a stage where you go into that group stage, if you had two groups or whatever, and there was an open draw and you're allowed to lose a game and you could get a second chance. I think that is the way to play championship, because at least if you've won opportunity to come back, you know, you give it your all, and there would be a buzz about that.
So we have to make sure now next week we don't do a Tyrone or a Cork against Louth.
That's it.
But
yeah,
that's
the
gym. This is, I was just saying before we come on air here, that's what we expect from Jim McGuinness, isn't it? He makes sure that we don't have the off day like Tyrone and Cork have.
Yeah. Well, listen, how we treated Clare, I think, was very, very professional and looked really good. The week off now. So heading to Croke Park, that whole buzz of going to Croke Park is unreal as a player. And it's a big game, and you know, you're going to have big crowds. The buzz is around it. You know, you're rested now. So just waiting on the word on Jason McGee is the big one. Like, whether he can make it or not is massive for all Donegal supporters and for him himself and the team. So the thing about reading on the different games, I mean, listen, we read a lot into the Cork victory over us. How good were Cork? Tyrone then, this Tyrone team that were terrible the weekend, beat them. And then they lose to Louth. So we keep reading the team off the performance of another. Now, we read the Mayo team off the performance of their game against Dublin the following week and said, wow, there's something in this Mayo team. Yet in the first half, they were absolutely terrible again. Now again, they did play well in spells in the game. They commanded it in the second half, so did Derry. They were dead and they come back. But again, like, they're a point up. They're a point up against Galway. They're a point up against Dublin. Callanan fists that ball wide, and you're just like, oh no. Like, you could have recycled the ball, they could have kept it. And you just thought, Derry are going to win this ball, and they're going to score an equaliser. And there's something about Mayo, it's just like, not again. I mean, their fans must be just like, here we go. That's three big games, and they've been in the position to win them. And they've.
It's just, you wonder what is going on. So we'll just quickly run through the quarterfinals then. Derry Kerry, that's a semi-final repeat, isn't it, from last year? I mean, would you write Derry off at this stage now?
Well, I did last week, and you didn't, and it was proven by.
I want to say something here, right, by the way, because you are a good sport, right? You are a good sport, and you mentioned it when you come in, and you I threw it up on social media, but I didn't do it in such a way to take anything away from your reputation, but you didn't give out to me, you didn't text me. So. Right, you do far more for charity than I do.
No, that's so all.
I just because of the glory now being upon it, right? I'm going to donate 100 euro to Your Hope International charity.
Right. Plan International.
Plan International, okay. Sorry.
They're very right? good. Very
good. Yeah. So. That settles
that's great.
That.
That's
oh, is that good? Because I feel like I've got a little bit of glory off your back, right?
Well, can I just say...
And you already do enough yeah, between ziplining down bloody Croke Park and going that, all over the
that's
place.
That's a great gesture, yeah.
How's that? We're sorted.
Croke Park, I forgot about that.
You're mad.
Hey, nearly burned the hands off me, that. I was lucky I came out of that one, all right.
Right, Kerry Derry.
Thank you, that's a great gesture.
50-50.
No.
No, it's Kerry,
no,
isn't it?
Big time. And, you know, if you look at the... Derry defence go back to what they're doing, back to basics. Don't concede silly goals. Don't be caught up the pitch, as we thought they would do after Donegal. For some reason, they didn't seem to catch it. Now, Westmeath the previous week, poor old match. It was hard to describe what went on. She just thought, right, Mayo will beat them. And then their defence got back to basics. Now, they were lucky at parts in the game, I think. Probably could have a couple of black cards, but the forward line's not playing well. Lachlan Murray kicked 4 brilliant points. Was probably a difference. He stepped up. So, against the Kerry team, I think the last day out, Kerry really, I think... you know, against Louth, we thought that might be a close game. They obliterated them. So I think Kerry they're building up towards this, Greg. I can't see how they're going to hold that or outscore that Kerry forward line.
Armagh versus Roscommon, have Roscommon had their game at the championship already?
I don't know. There's something about Roscommon.
Well organised.
You know, Davy Burke's got a lot of criticism this year because he had that first year where they were flying and there was a lot expected of them and they had a couple of great performances. And this year it's all unravelled a bit, but that said, they had quite a few players injured in a way, you know, including Kieran Murta, who's, you know, one of their best forwards. Another three, four players, probably one guy retired, travelling. So I think that, you know, they've kind of steadied the ship there and got their full squad. Your man Heenan was back at the weekend. So they're pretty much up to full strength now. So they'll get some lift off that.
Yeah, like, for
so,
sure.
So whether they can pull out a performance, there's certainly be no fear in them. You know, they've equipped themselves well at Croke Park previously, the couple of times they're up against the Dubs.
Donegal versus Louth. It's up to Donegal, really, what happens here, isn't it?
Well, if you think back to the league game there, Louth came and set up really defensive down in Ballyshannon. I know it's a league game, it's away back then, but Ger Brennan's cute. You know, they're on the crest of a wave now. You know, they've had a brilliant season. They stayed in Division 2, they're lucky enough now, they're only a point above the relegation zone. But since then, they've come in, they've been in the Leinster final, they've now come through the prelim quarter final, so they're in uncharted territory. This is the first ever quarter final, so they will be buzzing for that. Now, Donegal will be big favourites going into it, but There's good shape to him. There's huge men at midfield, and I say Mulroy there, who's their captain, kicking that one in free. And again, just going back to Cork and that, you know, that late foul, like you can't give that opportunity to someone like Mulroy. Now Cork's held an opportunity to get an equaliser. So Louth are playing well. Listen, Donegal will be huge favourites for it, but he says that's the big thing for Jim, to keep that professional.
This is where the psychological element of it comes into it. And Dublin against Galway, and any team you kind of half fancy against Dublin. Anytime I watch Dublin, they always just seem to have another 10 or 15% when they need it. And they've pulled it out of the bag, even on bad performances this year. And as much as I actually would love to see Galway beat them, you just feel that when it comes to when it's time that they need to kick on, that they can do it and many other teams can't.
Yeah, it's all about injuries for Galway. They've absolutely been plagued all year, you know, with the likes of Comer and Kelly and Finnerty and all these ways. But now there's fellas, Comer did come on, there's fellas there, they look like now they've shaken it all. I know there was a talk about Walsh having a knock from the weekend, but it's that quick recovery now is the thing. It could be what hampers Galway, because they've had so many injuries and niggles. Whether they can have their starting 15, if they have their starting best 15 on against Dublin, they could give them a game.
Four great games.
But it's a huge thing for that week's rest for the Dubs, you know.
Yeah, I know. And I just, no one takes me on this, but I still think it's crazy that we don't know which day Donegal's playing on, you know, if you've got stuff to organise. And we don't really even know how the tickets are being divvied up.
Somebody from Louth takes me up a Sunday.
Right, okay.
Do you know what? He's my contact up in Louth. He's the boy I ring for information when I'm doing stuff, when I'm doing podcasting. Right. So I was like, you give me a load of stuff heading into this game. And he sent me a choice message back, so...
Very good, okay, we'll see.
We'll keep it
friendly. Obviously, you've all that to go through, and you've a great panel to do with. Donegal ladies beaten in the All-Ireland series. John McNulty's making himself available to chat to you. It's a disappointing result.
Yeah, this is very disappointing. Tight group, you know, you have Kerry at home, of course, you know, coming down as huge favours, a massive performance from Donegal to get the draw. So you go down to Waterford, a draw would have seen you through, but... Listen, they turned the tables on us 110-7. You know, not scoring enough. But listen, John's developing a good team there. You know, they started a good season, competed well in Ulster final where they thought they wouldn't, competed brilliant against two of the best teams in Ireland, which is Armagh and Kerry. So listen, better things to come from them. Still a tough defeat. They would have been down there in huge hopes of qualifying.
Right. Brendan, as usual, has a fantastic line-up of guests. John McNulty, who I mentioned, is on the programme. In relation to the weekend and looking forward to the weekend ahead, Kieran Whelan, former Dublin star, RTE pundit, and Brendan Kilcoyne, former Sligo captain. Yeah. So plenty of crack.
And the one and only Pádraig Helferty will be in the room.
Is he semi-co?
Yeah. I take him. You know, Matt, he's a great man. It was great having somebody in studio, Greg, that knows his football. And, you know, you've guests coming in and out. And if we take guys in and Zoom and different things, it's always great to have somebody there, because Pádraig has a great grasp of GAA right across.
So. Listen, love it when the two of you's on. All right, Brendan. Brendan Devaney, presenter of the DL Debate. That's tonight. Just after the 7 o'clock news, last question, are you on Revolut?
I am, yes.
Right, I'll bang that over to you after the show, is that all right?
I will send it in and I will get a wee receipt baggy from the plan. A wee thank you receipt from the good people in plan.
I do trust you, Brendan. All that. I do trust you, you know, I don't need the receipts, but you can email
a wee thank
me.
You, I mean, a wee
all right,
you.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Brendan Devaney, always a brilliant sport. Okay, we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after the break.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
For new perspectives and a fresh vision, join me, Greg Hughes, on the 9 till noon show every Thursday at 10:15 for your voice, your community.
Craving a taste of bliss by the water? The Water's Edge Rathmullen. Join us from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. daily and sample our delicious new breakfast menu. We also have a daily lunch menu from 12 p.m. Or why not sample our dinner menu from 4 p.m. Now open until 9 p.m. daily, offering casual to special occasion dining. The Water's Edge Rathmullen, where tranquility and good food come together.
Irish raspberry season is here. Let the fun begin. Pick up a punnet of Keeling's Irish raspberries in store today. Juicy, delicious, feel-good fruit. Fresh from our farm. Love that Keeling's feeling.
Ormacullagh Jewellers in Letterkenny are synonymous with fine jewellery, quality watches and giftware. With stores at Main Street, Letterkenny and the Letterkenny Shopping Centre or online at ormacullagh.com. You can choose from their quality product range in a relaxed atmosphere. And their sales staff will be happy to help you make the right choice, whatever the occasion. Ormacullagh Jewellers, making moments magical for generations.
This summer at Boots, we're with you for hay fever relief to take on that hot, as well as foot care to take care of yourself afterwards. With buy one, get the second half price on health solutions, we're with you for saving summer. Boots, with you for life. Selected stores, products and boots.ie excludes medicines, cheapest product half price, offer ends 10th September.
Here at Kelly Cleaning Equipment, we have everything you need to clean your home, garden and business. As an official Go Plus Casher dealer, we offer brand leading domestic and commercial pressure washers, vacuum cleaners, floor scrubbers, steam cleaners, carpet cleaners and much more. Come and see us at Eurohouse Killybegs Road, Donegal Town or online at kellycleaningequipment.ie. And for a limited time only, claim up to €150 cashback when purchasing a Casher professional pressure washer. Kelly Cleaning Equipment, choose Casher.
So the latest Irish Business Against Litter survey has been released, and regular listeners or anyone who kind of would listen to what I say in relation to this would know I don't really pay much attention to it, so I don't necessarily celebrate the successes. But what does annoy me is when I feel that they get it wrong. And I travel around the place and I've been up in Buncrana a few times, and Buncrana always strikes me as a beautiful spot. And I know an awful lot of work goes into keeping it as beautiful as it actually is. So it kind of pees me off when, you know, a survey sort of suggests something other than that. Or maybe I'm ruining it wrong. Jared Porter, chair of the Buncrana Tidy Towns. I'm incredibly proud and parochial of our beautiful county, and particularly Buncrana. As I say, it always strikes me as a beautifully well-maintained town, and I don't think it needs the publicity that this survey has given it. But anyway, that's the opinion that matters is yours, Jared. What's your reaction?
Yeah, well, I kind of got up this morning, and this was kind of thrust on me. I was kind of researching it since, and I've downloaded the report and all, and went through the report because I was kind of very surprised and shocked, and I've highlighted the good points and the bad points. And some of the stuff they were saying was kind of like, is this bunkrana they're talking about? Like, because we've got members out, Greg, on a scheme during the week there. They do Monday to Friday. Then we're out on a Saturday morning, then ourselves for 2 or 3 hours as the tidy towns. And then we've got evenings too during the week. Like, and I don't like the word when they say moderately littered, because it's very hard to, you know, if you clean a road, Greg, on a Saturday morning there, and then you drive up that road on the way home, you might get somebody that's throwing something out of their car, like something onto the road. Like, it's very hard to kind of work against that. Like, you could do your best. Like, and Bunkrana is a clean town, everybody knows, you know, and there's some positive points. Like, we've been 8 gold medals in a row. So we have, we're in the top 50 in the whole country. So I just can't work out.
What was the
where
points? Where did you lose points? Having gone through the report, Jared, I didn't get a chance because I've been on air since 9. But where did they sort of?
They kind of hammered dog fouling. Like,
well, can I say one thing on that, Jared? You see,
yes,
a town can't be responsible for a couple of irresponsible dog owners. I know for a fact there's been an awful lot of activity in the community to try and discourage dog littering. Surely that's a bit of credit that should be given, not the actions of one or two irresponsible dog owners. That's what the problem I have with this survey, because it doesn't recognise the attempts to try and sort it out and the reliance that you guys have on the county council to get the dog warden down there.
Yeah, well, we actually worked with our local Donegal County Council litter warden, great man he is, and we put up signage last year. He got us signage last year informing dog walker, dog people about the dangers of not lifting your dog poo to the people, about, you know, different diseases you get from dog poo and the fines that's there. We run a competition through the schools with the children. They've done lovely wee pictures of, you know, informing people about lift your poop and all this here, and scoop your poop and any bun, any poo and all this here. Like, and the judge actually mentioned that on the report.
All right, okay.
But didn't give us no credit for it. Like, it's just, not that we're disheartened, Greg. We know who we are in Bunkrana, and the people in Bunkrana know about Bunkrana Tidy Towns, and they know the work we do and the way we keep the town clean, and we're not going to take no negative out of this.
Yeah,
we're,
but the problem
positive.
Is it's not what we know in our own area. It's what sort of maybe someone reading this down the country might think, because it creates a really, I think, an unfair perspective of the town. I mean, do we have any say where Eyeball comes? Because they didn't go to Bunkrana for quite some time, and then they did. So do they work with the Tidy Towns Committee and saying, look, do you want to be involved in this? We'll come and survey, or what way do we have any choice in it?
Well, no, we were notified through the environment section of Donegal County Council that our town was being surveyed this year.
Right.
So we were. Now, we had no say whether yes or no, but we will be looking into this now, like, because we're not that we're disappointed, because we're taking this report as a pinch of salt. So we're, because we know our members is out every day. So there are 6 days a week, Greg. 52 weeks a year we're out. So everybody knows Bunkrana is clean. So there. But my main concern with this report is in the National Tidy Towns competition that we've been 8 gold medals in, they will tell you, Greg, the date that they done the survey. Mm. So you know whether it was a Saturday or a Sunday.
Which is
or a
vital
Monday.
Information.
Yes, which is vital information. And this here report, and I actually phoned Eyeball this morning there before I came on, Eileen. Your woman couldn't give me that information. Mm. She passed me over to Antasca, so they're going to phone me back. She's no dates, no nothing. So if they come out on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning after Saturday night, of course there's going to be litter about. Yeah. Of course there's going to be, you know, you have more people visiting at the weekends and all that.
But
so
you should also be able to judge something that's there that was thrown down 3 hours ago and something that has been allowed to lie there for weeks. You know what I mean? That also should be factored in, I think.
That is factored in, Greg, in the National Tidy Towns competition. That's the one that we take serious, so we do. They actually say to you, right, we've noticed about a letter. We knew it wasn't. It was from the night before or something like that. It was only out a couple of hours or whatever. But they know then if someone's there for a month or a week or 2 weeks, they'll hit you on that. Like,
yeah.
But we know our members is out all the time. Like, So we don't have a litter problem in Buncrana, and that's 100%. Put my hand in my heart. We do not have a litter problem.
And
we
also
may have irresponsible dog owners, Greg.
Everyone has some. But you don't invite
everywhere
this,
has it.
Yeah. But no. Another thing too, and I'm not criticising Eyeball, but the last survey they came out, it was all about the vapes, because the vapes were in the news, right?
Yes.
And this year it's about the plastic bottles, because the plastic bottles in the news. And just the press releases, it just seems designed to get as many, you know, clicks and radio interviews and newspaper articles as is possible. You know, where are the vapes now? Yeah. I mean, the whole statement the last time was about vapes. Not a mention about them this time, but it just so happens that now plastic bottles are not being seen as much because of the deposit return scheme. And it just seems to be, I don't know, it just, it's something about it, Jared. But listen, I'm not saying anything untowards happened, to be clear. And I don't want to be over-parochial and over-proud of our own area, but I feel I have to bat for Buncrana because it is a clean town, as recognised by the Tidy Towns. 8 gold medals do not lie. We know the story. I just don't like Buncrana being run down nationally. I'm just going to be honest with you.
And we're top 50 in the whole country, Greg. Yeah. Top 50 in the whole country. So, yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. We're not too downhearted about it. No. We know who we are. We're going to stick to our guns.
Right.
We've got great volunteers that go out there all the time.
And let us know if you find out if they do tell you when they visited. I think that's a critical piece of information, Jared.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to push for that to find out what date it was. And I said you want an Eyeball too. Like, did you visit any other areas in the town, like so Swans Park there, that has got so much money spent? It's really nice. You know, there's other parts of Buncrana. Like, and there's another thing too, Greg. We had Irish Water now in the town this last year, digging up roads and doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, they never once mentioned that, to take that into consideration or anything like that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't get the report. I'm kind of baffled.
Exactly. You just have to deal with the aftermath. And then we've got Mallon.
Yeah.
Fantastic finish show, Mallon, the best kept village nationally.
Brilliant.
32 counties, and Buncrana should be being celebrated too with the efforts go in, but unfortunately.
Yes.
All right, Jared, listen, go ahead, yeah.
Just, Greg, just now when you're on there, I wish all of towns best of luck now in this Tidy Town competition coming forward. Every town in Donegal, I hope they do well, and I'd love to see one of them winning it, even ourselves winning it.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, well, it wouldn't be
definitely, because we're all in it together. It's for the betterment of Donegal.
Thanks so much. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Greg.
As you say, don't be disheartened. We know the crack.
Jared Porter,
Chair of Buncrana Tidy Towns. Car tax, insurance and national car test discs will be digitised at the same time, with plans to do so being explored by government officials. Operators in the insurance sector believe car documentation is likely to go paperless from the start of 2026. Motoring journalist and editor of CompleteCar.ie, Shane O'Connor, is back on the show with us. It's inevitable, Shane, isn't it?
Shane O'Donoghue, but yes.
Shane, I beg your pardon. That's my mistake. Well, it's not actually my mistake. I've spoke to you enough now to know your surname, even if it's written wrong in front of me. Shane O'Donoghue, this is inevitable, isn't it? I'll just cut that out.
Absolutely. I think the question really is, why hasn't it been done already? For a long time, I and I'm not alone in this, have wondered why we're taking up so much of our screen real estate with big discs and a big disc holder. And actually, that's a safety issue, I think, in terms of visibility.
I can't get them in anyway, to be honest with you. The NCT one is normally a struggle for me. I think too, though, with the advancement in technology, i.e. where, you know, a guard's scan number plates, you know, that's the way forward, isn't it? Because even with the Donegal rally this weekend, Shane, what we did see is, you know, fraudulent documents, which not every guard's going to spot, right? So you really need another way of checking.
Yeah, 100%. We're seeing a much bigger rollout of the ANPR system, Advanced Number Plate Recognition System, in Gardaí cars. And that's going to be a bit of a game changer. If there's widespread use of that, then that's by far the best way of doing it. What they do, just so your listeners might know, is the cars automatically scan registration plates of cars going past them. They can do that at quite a fast rate. And they flag up in the cars themselves to the Gardaí driving if there are issues, you know, and it's very quick. It shows if the car is taxed, if the car is insured, if the car is NCT, etc. So why wouldn't we only have that system? As you say, it's relatively easy these days to falsify a physical document.
But we know the high rate of uninsured drivers we have, Shane, and we end up picking up the bill, you know, for that. It really is important, isn't it, that the Garda's toolkit is very, very robust, because we don't want this leading to a point where people goes, I haven't seen a checkpoint in 6 months, sure, I'll just drive with the screen blank.
No, that's right. And actually, I think you've touched on a really important point there. As well as having this technology, which does appear to be, you know, on the way and is being rolled out better than ever, we need the Gardaí, we need the resources. And that's something we've touched on the show before, that we don't have enough of that. I mean, obviously around the Donegal Rally was a big presence, and that's to be expected. But to be honest, we kind of need, maybe not that level, but we need a presence all the time. And this technology should make that easier. Now, we've seen in recent times talk from the Gardaí that uses ANPR already, because it's not a brand new thing, it's just not so widespread. And they've suggested in public that they actually don't have the resources to follow up every alert that pops up in the car. So, you know, they're driving along and they're seeing dozens and dozens of alerts, cars are going by, but they're basically only picking out the more serious ones, if you like.
Yeah, interesting. And also too, I think, say, for instance, with checkpoints, at the moment, the most Gardaí have is access to a mobile phone, inputting number plates, a little bit cumbersome as well, and maybe actually, given the ropey mobile coverage, there can be not very effective. So, you know, two things are going to have to happen at the same time, I think, Shane, for this to be successful and not lead to more uninsured drivers on the roads.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just a one-pronged approach, as you said. So yeah, the technology looks like it's on the way, great, but we need more resources. We need more Gardaí on the roads every day, and they need to have those resources to hand, be properly supported. But I suppose the upside of all this, and we need to be positive as well, is that it'd be great to be getting rid of a big obstruction on your windscreen.
Yes, that seems to particularly annoy you, Shane.
It does, I'm afraid. I mean, when we're talking, there's such a focus on protecting the vulnerable, so pedestrians.
Because if you look down to your left, that is where you could have someone, you know, stepping out. Or it genuinely makes sense what you're saying. It does, especially in a critical area. Yeah, for sure. Shane,
when the car makers, the car makers, when they, you know, when they're designing their cars, when they're producing, they're under strict regulations in terms of the shape and size of the window and visibility. And then we're sticking this big thing on top and blocking half of it.
For sure. Okay, listen, Shane, thank you very much for your time. Shane O'Donoghue, motoring journalist and editor of CompleteCar.ie. Can you imagine that, you know, when you get your tax disc and you're breaking around the little dots and you rip it and all that kind of stuff, and then trying to shovel it into the slot from the driver's side, when, of course, I should get out and do it from the passenger side. Right, it is the 9 till noon show. I'm going to take the quarter to break early, and that'll give us a chance to manoeuvre our rally guests into studio. Stay tuned for that, especially if you're a fan of the rally. And in studio with me right now is the winners of the Donegal International Rally, Callum Devine, and co-driver Noel O'Sullivan. Lads, thanks so much for calling up.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. Very much. Well done to you.
It's nice to be here.
And Oisin Kelly's with us as well.
Morning, Greg. Oisin.
Good to have you on board. We'll get an overview from you. But Callum, I suppose winning something is one thing, but there's an awful lot has to go right, you know, both in terms of what you guys do, but also mechanically to do it again the next year.
Yeah, exactly. There's a big team effort that goes in behind everything in the rallying. Just getting the car prepped, making notes, doing everything. And yeah, as you say, you need a wee bit of luck as well to make it all happen. And I think we got a bit of everything here.
What was the initial stages like?
Yeah, the showing stages were fantastic. The mile head stages haven't been used in a long time, so they were brilliant stages. Obviously the weather was was wet, making it a wee bit slipperier now than it was the last 2 days, but lovely stages and nice wee change.
Yeah, good stuff. Oisin, a great event overall, it seems.
Fantastic event, one of the best Donegals that we've had, Greg, and full credit has to go to Eamon McGee and all his team there, because they put in a huge effort and they pulled off a brilliant show. So they did. And listen, the quality of the field and the quality of the driving was just out of this world. It was fantastic over the weekend, because you may have had seven drivers on the stage, separated with times by just points of a second. So it was It was enthralling. It was entertaining. It was captivating. It was everything. And the whole weekend just came together, as I said, to make it one of the best events. We had a bit of rain on Friday and a wee bit on Saturday as well, but it didn't deter. There was huge crowds out there. Speaking to the officials coming off the stages, that probably the biggest they've ever seen, particularly in the likes of Knockalla, first thing Saturday morning. So everybody was out there, and everybody that was following the rally that was out in the stages all behaved themselves, and it was a great event, and listen, everything just mixed very well. And then this young man here, along with Noel, they put in a brilliant performance, and they have to be credited because he had about maybe 20 kilometres done on the car before Friday test.
Well, I was going to say that, because this Skoda Fabia's... Noel, I'll ask you about it. What's this car like?
So far, so good. It's the first rally in it the weekend. It's the first Skoda in the country and in the UK as well. But yeah, we just done a test on last Thursday and done a couple of miles. But Callum seemed to get on well with it. Done a couple of setup changes over the weekend, and his time's improved. I suppose it's a bit different to the Polo in certain aspects. But yeah, it seems to be good, and we got off to a good start with a win.
Yeah, Callum, from your perspective, what did the Fabia bring to the party for you?
Yeah, as Noel said, so many things is different in aspects. Probably the one thing that stood out after the test that we had, I thought the engine was just a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Polo now is a fantastic car, but just the development in the last couple of years has been, there is no development. So yeah, it's just more like staying current and staying.
So the Fabia's kind of sort of staying up, it's making advances maybe more than the Polo.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's 2024. So
everyone's going to be looking for them now, Greg. Well, that's the same as that Yaris that finished second, Marion Evans and Jerry Conway. They have the car for the British Rally Championship, but have done very little tarmac rallying.
Mm.
They finished second overall. So two brand new pieces of machinery. We're in Donegal this weekend for the very first time and competing at an international level for the very first time, and both filled the top two spots.
Yeah, for sure. What else stood out for you, Ash, over the weekend?
Oh, what else stood out? Well, apart from the performance of these two here, and obviously the battle at the front, because you have some of the most talented drivers in Europe competing in Donegal, and they're all Irishmen, and then you throw in the mix, obviously, Matt Edwards. To watch that battle unfold was fascinating. David Kelly and Dino Sullivan, we have to mention them. They were the highest placed Donegal crew, and we'll call a spade, nobody would have thought that David Kelly would have been in a podium position come Sunday.
And only 26 seconds off the pace.
Yeah, and he admitted that himself, but what a drive. What he was doing on Saturday, he was beating Matt Edwards, he was beating Callum Devine, he was beating Marion Evans on stage times. I think he may have ended the weekend with maybe four or five fastest stage times. Mm. He's never had one before in Donegal.
And he beat Matt Edwards into fourth.
And he beat Matt Edwards
in the overall standings.
And into fourth. So that was another story. And obviously the Milkman as well, the two-wheel drive category, which a lot of the club men like this side of the rally. It is very entertaining. The two-wheel drives, the modifieds. You feel for Kevin Geller and Ryan Moore. They led most of the weekend, but it's a marathon event and mechanical issues happen, and they had one yesterday on Fannett, which handed the lead to Declan, but that's not taken away from Declan's performance, because
you have to be in position.
What he put that car through, if you look at the times of the rest of the field in the modifieds compared to those two guys, and particularly the Starlet, that probably is a step down from the Darien, for Declan to have that car so close was fantastic. So congratulations to him. And there's Kerry men winning all the time, Greg. We have a Kerry man here in Noel. John McCarthy's a Kerry man that was along with Declan.
Jerry Conway, second overall.
And Jerry Conway, second overall, is another Kerry man. He's a dairy man. So is Callum.
They can sort it out. They can sort it out next weekend.
We needed a couple of Donegal boys to step up, and David Kelly and obviously Declan Gallagher had done it. But listen, it was great, Greg. It was a fantastic event, and to see the action out there and the times and how everybody was so close and how the various different battles evolved and the different classes, and even the likes of young Ryan McHugh, who had a big battle on Friday with Kyle McBride.
It's the little individual.
Callum at one stage was like them. He was the young driver in that class with lots of potential and would become a star of the future. Ryan McHugh and Kyle McBride, them young men are like that as well. And we see it with David Kelly too. He came up through the ranks and now he's in a top class Polo, and he's got himself a Donegal podium. And there's no doubt he'd want to come back next year.
Yeah.
He might be looking, you know what, maybe I'll change my car. I'll look for more more up-to-date machinery and have a crack at. This is the way the sport evolves. So
yeah, but I presume it lights on a fire under, you know, Volkswagen, what have you, to sort of say, right, you know, people are starting to favour other vehicles now.
Well, there's a reason for it. They're not involved at the top level anymore.
All right, okay, so they're out.
The Polos, yes. Yeah, so these cars were here for a certain period of time. But they're not. You want to go with the most up to date technology, and it seems to be that the Fabia and the Yaris are on it.
I think, Noel, it was you last year. I was talking to you about what you drive. Well, I think it was you. It was BMW you drive, is it?
No.
Was that you, Callum? I can't remember which one of you was, but anyway, you were talking about. It was very funny because someone took a clip of the interview, and then one of you driving your cars.
Oh, I think that was Josh, was it?
Was it?
I might have been Josh. The year before.
Was it the year before?
No,
it wasn't. It was last year. I'll get it. Anyway, right. It's one of my small.
I know the video you're on about.
Yeah.
I think he said he was driving a Mercedes or something. Yeah, was that?
Wasn't sure. He drives it handy. All right. Oh, I'm sure that was last year. Right. Anyway, I'm wrong. Well, lads, what's it like driving in Donegal? You know, with the speed that you're travelling and everything, do you be conscious of the spectators and the joy that you're giving them? I wonder, or do you just have to be so focused on what you're doing?
Yeah, obviously. The battles there, all down through the field, there was a couple, as Oisin touched on there, the top 5, 6, 7 was points of seconds. Mm. Like it's obviously has to be fascinating for people watching. As Oisin says, the crowds have been fantastic over the weekend, large crowds. So, yeah, you obviously get some sort of sense that there's a big enjoyment for everybody outside it, you know. And obviously when the weather's good too, it just makes it that wee bit better, doesn't it?
But you see the joy in the driver's faces when they come off when you're at the end of stages. Yeah. And obviously, like a Killian there and on the pace notes, there's huge work speaking to every driver coming off every stage. We were there beside him at the weekend. Declan Gallagher probably stood out for me because he came off High Glen on Saturday smiling like a child from ear to ear and saying that this is the way Glen Village should be run. This is a rally driver stage. Glen going, he's not in the head. Callum's agreeing with me that, like, it was Christmas Day to Declan Gallagher, so it was. And he was bringing joy to himself in the car. But then you speak to people then about what Declan Gallagher was like going through Glen Village. Like the pace he was on was serious.
Plus the joy for me is that's the route I travel to work, so all the potholes get filled. It's fantastic. Really, really appreciate your efforts. But back to the fans, though, is, you know, like the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys and girls that, you know, that I would, you know, relations or have around me, and they look up to you guys, like, you're like the Ronaldos or the Michael Murphys or the whatever, like, they just hold you in such high regard. And they have access to, if the parents can get them to different parts of it, you know, they can get to meet their idols, and they're the stars of the future, potentially, Osh.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That's the same as the football. It's the same with the Gaelic. When you have stars winning the sport, young people want to look up to them. And listen, there's no doubt that there's a young Callum Devine there, there's the young Marian Evans, or there's a young Declan Gallagher there that's 10 years of age watching what was going on at the weekend. You see them at the finish ramp, Greg. Mm. Might even go back to the start, actually, on Thursday night. The crowd's down the town for the ceremonial start. It's been a very long time since we've seen a gathering that big on the Port Road for the start of a Donegal International Run. I think the venue suited it for the start as well, because there was a bit of extra room around the front of the theatre, but the general consensus was that the ceremonial start was the best in a very long time. And there was a lot of young children there, and you could see them at the barrier, and they have the posters and their rally merchandise that they're looking for these guys to sign. So there is future stars in there. So there is. And we'll wait to see what happens.
Yeah, all right.
In the lane with them. So,
Callum, what's next for you guys in the car now?
Next event us is the Tarmac. We're just continuing on with the Tarmac Championship. It'll be the Ulster, I think, in August. August it'll be. So there's a bit of a break now, which is, yeah, it's a bit of a welcome break too, like, because it's been busy right up to Donegal there. So, yeah, there's two final rounds of that. We'll go to Ulster and then Cork. Final round in Cork will be in October date.
Callum won the championship last year, so he's defending that, and he admit himself that the first part of the year didn't go the way that he wanted, but the last two rounds he's won both of them, so he's right back in the mix again.
You switched cars mid season.
Yeah, well,
is that unusual? Is it?
But yeah, probably it is unusual. Probably to switch cars. Maybe at the start of the year when obviously you get bedded into the car, but yeah, before Donegal was probably a bit of a bold thing to do. Obviously, we were in the polo prior to Donegal and we won the event, so it wasn't like it was doing anything wrong. But yeah, look, we changed the Skoda. It was current and it was, it came about. So
is the polo open done deal now, or what happens there?
it's going to be a done deal. I've heard everyone wants to see it done deal. It's definitely going to be there.
low mileage, all motorway roads.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Oisin. Again, just to recap, and you know, it's great to come back in on Monday, and the events went off well. Everyone's finished safely. The roads around the event, you know, no major incidents or whatever. It's nice because you never know heading into these things. So as I say, it's nice to be sitting here, being able to enjoy the fantastic achievement from the lads. And generally speaking, I'm conscious, obviously, if you live around certain areas, you're going to be a bit peed off. But generally speaking, a very positive event.
Generally, it was one of the best. A hugely positive. One of the best Donegal rallies, and everybody got through it. Everybody got through it safely. And again, it showcases the event. There's going to be television coverage of this. We've seen what it was like on social media over the weekend. We've seen Donegal again in all its glory. And that there's, at times, there's no better way to show Donegal than when rally weekend, out in the stages with the car. Obviously, there's other things go on that the rally aren't officially associated with, Greg, but from a sporting spectacle, it was a phenomenal weekend. So it was. And if the rally continues to keep going like this over the next number of years, we're going to have more sensational weekends. And you have to remember, it's 3 days in Donegal. No other rally is doing this anymore at this level in the country. A lot of rallies, even in Europe, are down to 2 days. They're not 3 days anymore. So they're able to pull it off. It's a tall order to do it, but there's a fantastic team of people there working through it. And as we said, they managed it at the weekend, and it was one of the best.
All right, listen, well done, Callum. Well done, Noel. And thanks very much for making yourselves available this morning, because, you know, the morning after the night before, it's very much appreciated. So thanks both of you very much indeed. And Oisin, thanks to you, and well done to you and the relatively small team. You wouldn't know looking at the coverage, both on air but also on the social. Great reaction
thanks
videos.
Thanks to Chris and thanks to Mark. They've put in a big effort at the weekend.
Definitely.
So they did. So we tried our best. We're tired today.
All right. Rosie says, congrats, lads. Dale, two gentlemen of the sport. Congrats. Mary, Joe, what a great rally. Enjoyed it. Congratulations to you both. And as I always say, Oisin Kelly, your boots will never be filled. You're amazing. That comes in from your father, actually, which is a lovely thing for him to say.
Yeah. These boys have to come back now and go for three in a row.
Yeah.
Their name is now in with some big guns of the sport. So that have won two. The Nesbitts, Fisher, Anis Kelly, these guys have all won. They're multi Donegal winners, and now Callum and Noel have joined them. So
why not? Three in a row. You'll only get one chance at it, probably. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll definitely be back anyway, that's for sure.
Good stuff.
So if it happens, it happens.
One of your favourite events?
Oh, it is my favourite.
It is the
favourite.
No,
it's definitely, the stages are absolutely fantastic.
And what about you, Noel? Do you really, I suppose you're sitting on.
I guess being from Killarney, my favourite event would be my local rally, Don't Rally the Lakes, but obviously Donegal is.
Oh, your microphone seems to have stopped working.
Obviously Donegal is the crown, it's the jewel, it's the biggest rally in Ireland. Brilliant. In Ireland, it's the biggest rally in the country, so Donegal's the one everyone wants to win.
All right, lads, we'll enjoy your celebrations, and again, thank you so very much indeed. And Oisin, again, thanks to you,
Greg,
for all the fantastic coverage over the weekend. Okay, that was Oisin Kelly and Callum Devine and co. Driver Noel O'Sullivan, the winners of the Donegal International Rally for a second year in a row and going on. Hopefully, next year they will hope to join a very exclusive club of three-time winners. All right, so that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show for today. Thank you very much to all of you who listened to the show, who watched the show. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 9. Stay tuned. John Breslin is up around the Northwest after the news headlines at 12.